How many of you are ready to get into the Word today? Amen. Amen. So I've been talking about going into the Promised Land, and I'm still in this vein. I might be in this vein for another couple of weeks. The more I sit and think and pray, meditate and read and all that jazz, the more that keeps coming to me, the more I just feel like I need to share this to our church. So that is kind of the foundation again today, Israel going into the Promised Land. We've been talking about some things that happened prior, during, and even after. Today, the title of the message within that area of Scripture is called Second Chance. Can you say Second Chance? Last week, we talked about the three actions. There's more than three, but three primary actions that stopped Israel from going into the Promised Land. And you know the story. Moses sent out 12 spies to go into the Promised Land. They came back, and they definitely seen a land that was flowing in milk and honey, but they also saw a giant land with giant people. And 10 of the 12 spies was extremely discouraged. And we talked about how there was three main things that these 10 spies did in order for them not to allow Israel to go into the Promised Land. Number one, it's how they saw what they saw. So they didn't see through God's eyes. They saw through fear's eyes. Number two, it's how they believed. They didn't believe the word of God. They didn't believe in the power of God. And then number three is what they said. They begin to speak against God empowering them going into this Promised Land. And these 10 spies begin to influence the whole nation of Israel. And so before you know it, the whole nation of Israel begin to come against Moses and begin to come against even the two other spies that went in the land too, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And God became very mad and very upset, and basically God said to them, you are not going to go into the Promised Land, those of you that are 20 years old in or older. And it was basically because of what they saw, what they believed, and what they said. But today we're going to talk about the two spies that believed. The two spies that seen through God's eyes and the two spies that believed in what God said. And I want you to get a glimpse into their heart, a glimpse into their mind this morning. So I've got a few verses I'm going to read you throughout our talk today. The first one is in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, talking about the spies, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because he will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. So we see that there were 10 verses 2. And the whole nation of Israel sided in with the 10. And God judged them powerfully because of that. It's very interesting for us to note what happened to the 10 spies. Does anybody know what happened to the 10 spies? They were given a plague. And they died. 10 leaders that led the nation in a wrong direction was cursed with the plague, and therefore they died. Now the other two individuals, Joshua and Caleb, experienced something opposite of that. Yes, they had to wander and they had to deal with Israel and they had to go through the wilderness for 40 years. But yet they still was positioned to experience the promised land. There's something specific that I'm wanting to talk with you about today, and I think this can hit home to all of us, whether it be presently or something in your past or something in your future. Let me read what I wrote last night. There are times in our lives that we are not able to fulfill the dream or receive the desire, and it is not because of us. It is because of another's choice or an uncontrollable circumstance. One of the hardest things in life is when we are negatively affected or controlled by another individual's choices. Have you been there? You was doing everything you knew to do. You was playing the right cards. You was walking the right path. You was making the best of choices to your ability. But somehow, somebody that had influence over you, control over you, had connection with you, made a series of stupid choices and therefore lined you up for struggle, for heartache, for loss, for pain, for sorrow, for something you didn't deserve, something you didn't ask for, something you didn't plan on, something you never ever would have dreamed of would have been dropped into your lap, but yet here it's dropped into your lap because of somebody else's free will. Sometimes we get in the habit to think that God is the reason we don't achieve or we go through hardships. And yes, sometimes that is the case. We see it in Scripture, just for example, of what happened in Job's life. God initiated or allowed all to take place in Job's life that did. But there is other times in our lives that God is not the reason of our hardship or our loss or our pain. There's times in our life that other people is the reason for our lack of possessing a promise or entering into a time of joy and laughter and peace and prosperity. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? I think a lot of us can relate. So what do we do with that? How do we go about that? What do we even think about that? How do we gear our thoughts toward God concerning that? One could say, well, God didn't have to allow this person to act in this way. One can say, God could have protected me. One could say, God could have changed the circumstance. Before we can really get into what occurred with Israel, we really have to get into what God created in the very beginning. God created in the very beginning beings that was given choices. Not beings that were to be robots. Not beings that were to be controlled. Not beings that was to be puppets on a string, bounced around and jumped around just at the big man or the big God's discretion. No, but God set humanity up to live life based off of free will, despite the outcome of that free will. Because in essence, God created humanity with the capacity to love, but love cannot truly be exercised outside of the perimeter of free will. Am I making sense? And so what God has done, he has created a being that has the capacity to have love, but he also created that being with the capacity to choose for themselves right or wrong, blessing or curse, life or death, promises or not. And rarely do we see God getting in the mix and changing people's free will. Sometimes people say, if there is a God, then why is there so much death? If there is a God, why is there so much hunger? If there is a God, why is there so much violence? If there is a God, why is there so much war? If there is a God, why is there so much perversion? It's because there is a God that created a capacity of love and granted a free will to show or reveal that love. But the fact of the matter is, not everybody loves the same way that God loves, nor do we love the way that God wants us to love. And we have an enemy of our soul that tries to manipulate, change, and redirect our steps of love so that when we choose things, they end up doing harm as opposed to helping. And everybody knows this, right? This is elementary in our reality, but I'm just trying to lay a foundation. How does God respond to us when we lose because of somebody else's choice? And in all reality, this is what Joshua, Caleb, those younger than 20 years of age in Israel, Moses, this is things that they had to deal with. They had to figure out, okay, now what is for me? Now what is for I? What is going to happen? Everybody else cursed God. Everybody else went against God. Everybody else offended God, and they've been judged. And now because I am connected with them, I am experiencing a byproduct of that judgment or that curse or of that hurt. And I want to really encourage you this morning. I'm not intending for this to be a solemn message, but just a talk on what happens to us if you and I stay faithful to God in spite of the pain that other people's choices inflict on us. See, that's the key for every single one of us. We don't have to be cursed like they were cursed. We don't have to go through the worst case scenario because of somebody else's choice. But what we do have to do is we have to be faithful. And if we're faithful to God, what begins to occur is a repositioning and a re-opportunity, if that's even a word. Is that a word, English teachers? Re-opportunity? It is now. An opportunity that reoccurs. How about that? Is that better? Is that better, Mike? All right. An opportunity that reoccurs because of faithfulness. See, just because you've been hurt doesn't mean that God is finished with you. Sometimes we can feed our brains and our spirit a lie that says, because I'm hurting, I'm damaged, and because I'm damaged, I'm of no value to God. And that's a lie. Other people's choice of free will that affects us in a bad way does not change the callings, the giftings, the anointings, the love, the mercy, the grace of God, despite what our emotions and despite what our state of pain is telling us. Amen? So get that out of your head. Those of you that's been hurt, your days is not over with. Those of you that's been damaged by somebody else's choices, God's hand is still on your back. God's spirit is still surrounding you. You are still clothed and covered in glory. There is opportunity for you. Now, do we have to go through a process to get above and beyond the pain? Yes. Do we have to take extra steps because of somebody else's ignorance? Yes. Does it hurt? Yes. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. Do we wish we didn't have to do it? Yes. All of the above. But when you get to the root of the problem, it doesn't change the fact that you are gifted, you are empowered, you are called, you are anointed, and because of somebody else's ignorance, God's love, God's calling, God's purpose for you does not change. That is a lie from hell. Can I get a ride on? So what happened to Israel, or not all of Israel, but let's just say these two spies. Numbers 14, verse 38 gives us a one word insight. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, I hate saying that word, because I know I'm saying it wrong, survived. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua and Caleb survived. Can you say survived? Did you feel like you wasn't going to survive in the aftermath of someone's stupid choice? Lift your hands if you would. Did you feel like you wouldn't survive? But how many of you did survive? How many of you would account that your survival is based off God being faithful? Right on? If we can stay connected with God in spite of somebody else's ignorance, somebody else's bad choices, the one thing that we will find ourselves becoming are survivors. I wish I had Christina Aguilera's song going right now. I think that's it. I'm a survivor. I'm a fighter, right? I'm going to make it. I'm not going to give up. Can you guys pull that up for me real fast? Not the song, just the lyrics. I know Christina Aguilera ain't so golly, but she does write some good songs every now and then. Is that Destiny Child? Oh, thank you. I don't listen to Christina Aguilera for just so you know, but Destiny Child, okay. Before they broke up, before Beyonce become Beyonce, right? Is that it? Some of you guys are looking at me real strange. Hey, I used to be a student of music. Not no more. I used to be a student of music. I listened to all of it, and I tried to play all of it. Destiny Child rocked. Those three sisters could kill it. But I didn't realize that was their song. Anyway, all right. What's the 1970s song? Something about... Come on, sing it, y'all, sing it.
And I've got all my life to live. I will survive. I will survive. Hey! Woohoo!
The one thing that we find ourselves becoming are survivors. And if you can become a survivor in the most hardest circumstances in your life, you can become a survivor in any circumstance in your life. Amen? In your circumstance, the number one thing to just really make sure is not necessarily everything you got to do or how I'm going to climb out of this or what's going to happen next. All those begins to fall in place. The first thing that we have to make sure we do is just being a survivor in the midst of dealing with something really difficult and really hard. And that's what these two guys were. It says that they survived. They survived the judgment of God on their brothers and on their sisters. If you're faithful to God, and even though you might be hurt by someone else's choice, God will make sure you survive. We can go through story after story in the Bible where you see that because of God's faithfulness, his man or his woman survived. Number two is we are set up. So what happened with Joshua and Caleb is there was a removal of a problem. So the problem was not just the 10 spies. The problem was the adults of Israel. They didn't hear God correctly. They didn't believe God correctly. They didn't speak God's promises correctly. And so what happened is God removed them out of the picture. And so oftentimes, God removes certain parts of a circumstance that could hinder us from going into a promise. Now, God may not or may remove the person that has hurt you. God may not remove that person. God might require of us to work through our hurt and continue to deal with that person. Right? I can't really say in your given circumstance what direction, but then there is times that God removes the person. Right? But what we do know is if we're faithful to God, God begins to remove things that has a tendency to stop us from going into the promise. If we're faithful to Him, He begins to shift things out of the way. He begins to remove things. He begins to change things. He begins to make sure that this is not going to be a reoccurrence in our lives. At the same time, not only does He remove objects of the problem, but He also replaces the help. He always makes sure that there is an assistance, that there is someone to walk along with us and to get us through the process and the progress of dealing with the hurt and the pain that we sometimes deal with because of somebody else's choices. And these individuals or these circumstances or these, it could be a church, it can be a job, it can be a group, it can be an individual. These individuals have a tendency to get us back in line when the timing is right to be able to possess the promise that we initially missed out on. See, there's no, we don't find a healthy Lone Ranger in Scripture. What you find, now you find independent men, you find independent women, but you will always come across them at a time in their life when they needed the help and the assistance of somebody else. And sometimes when we get hurt by other people, the last thing we want to do is reach out for help by another human being. We want to crawl in a box. We want to go into a cave. We want to leave the church. We want to leave the family. We want to leave the community. And some of that might be healthy. But there is always a time when we're going to need help. And what God allows to happen when He's trying to reposition us to possess the promise that He once promised us is to make sure we have help getting to where He wants us to go. So when we're faithful to God, we become survivors. When we're faithful to God, He begins to remove objects of the problem. When we're faithful to God, He begins to make sure that we have the help that we need to get us in the spot we need to be in order for the promise in our life to be a possession. Am I making sense this morning? We have to just be faithful to God. He does it. Faithful and open and recognizing what He's doing and accepting. And you might say, well, how do I know if what God's doing? How do I recognize? Hey, when God does something, you recognize it. Really. If God is at work in your life and He's legitimately working, you really don't have to scratch your head a whole lot. Right? When God works, He works, and he's a pretty good artist, and we don't really have problems trying to figure out is that His work or not. Yeah? Now sometimes we question it because we don't want to accept it. Woo-hoo. We changed gears a little bit, didn't we? Sometimes we don't want to accept how God wants us to have help. So then we go into the mode, is that you, God? Give me a sign, God. What are you doing, God? In all reality, deep in your gut, you know, okay, God wants me to trust again. God wants me to come to church again. God wants me to begin to give again. God wants me to begin to love again. God wants me to begin to reconnect again. Okay, God wants me to begin to get back into the habit of good spiritual disciplines again. Another thing that he does is he repositions us for a greater ability. So what happened with Joshua? Joshua became the leader of Israel. So the first time he tried to go into the promise, he was just a helper of Moses, an assistant. Now, he's about to go into the promised land again, and he's about to go into this promised land with a greater ability, with a greater authority, with a greater power, with a greater influence. I can tell you firsthand, when things did not happen in my life when I wanted them to happen, and I had to take detours because of other people's ignorance, when I made a loop and God brought me back around to a point of possessing a promise, I had more wisdom, I had more power, I had more authority, I had more ability, and I had more strength to deal with anything that would try to get in my way to try to stop me from possessing that promise the second time around. And it all comes from just being faithful to God. Look at someone and say, don't quit. I got to hurry, don't I? Gary, you got us running and jumping too long, man. I can't even get through my word today. When it hits, right? I'm just kidding, by the way. So let's look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now, this is the second time that Israel is attempting to go into the promised land. They're given a second chance. Something very interesting happens, and it speaks volumes to us, and I'm going to be brief. I should have made the other stuff short and just really hammered on this. So let's read. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Tittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. There's several words and phrases in this area of scripture that is applicable to us when we are trying to go into a specific zone of promise. Maybe a second time. Maybe I should have asked this the first. How many of you can honestly say that you've had to loop around certain promises in your life before? You didn't get it the first time, right? Marriage, relationship, family, kids, jobs, money, blah, blah, blah. Well, the second time around, there are some key things that we can apply to our life. And so real briefly, let's look at some of these words and phrases. It said that then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Let me say this to all of us. We don't have to let the whole world know what we're doing. Right? You don't have to let the whole world know that you're starting a new career. You don't have to let the whole world know via Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all this other social stuff that you're going to change jobs, that you're pursuing a dream, that you're getting remarried, that you're pregnant again, or whatever the case might be. Because sometimes just us secretly pursuing the promise that God has placed in our heart keeps us safe from hardship, safe from opinions, safe from attacks, safe from doubt, safe from, oh, I did it this way, and so you need to do it that way. Safe from negativity. Safe from weird looks and weird expressions. You know how it is. You go to share your heart with somebody. Instead of them smiling, being like, yeah, they're like, oh, you're going to do that? And you're like, oh, I should have never told you. Never mind. So how are you doing today? And they never, ever go back to, oh, no, let's just keep talking about what you think you're going to do, unless they really care. So Joshua didn't let it completely out of the bag. He secretly sent two spies into the promised land, focusing on Jericho. He didn't want the word to get out to Israel. He didn't want the word to get out to other leaders. He didn't want the word to get out to the people. He never knew what he was going to come against. Sometimes we only tell a few people that we know we can trust their wisdom. Now, let's not choose not to tell someone because we know they're going to tell us the truth, right? There's people we tell because we need their wisdom. And if their wisdom is, hey, this is a stupid choice, you need to back up a little bit. We need to pay attention to that. We also need to tell someone that will be encouraging. Someone that would say, man, you can do that. Yeah, you will look good doing that. Yeah, man, I can honestly picture you doing that. Someone that would encourage you. We need someone that would walk along with us in the process of it. See, when we set out to pursue our promise, we don't necessarily need to let the whole world know. We just need to let the most important people in our lives know. Let the people that is wise in our lives know. Let the encouragers in our lives know. Let the people who's willing to walk with us, let them know. And then let everybody else just witness it when we go do it. Amen? Am I talking to you good this morning? It says, go look over the land. Again, we come back to this vision point. God is all about vision, all about seeing and seeing the good in the pursuit of the promise. So God sent the spies secretly. They kept quiet. He said, go look. They envisioned the land. And then he said, especially Jericho. Jericho represents a starting point. We all have to have a starting point when it comes to pursuing a promise. And let me ask you this. Have you focused more on the end result, or have you focused more on the starting point? Because if you just focus on the end result, you're going to miss some things in the starting point, and you're not going to gain the experience, the tools, and the things that you need to be able to make it to the end of the journey. Jericho was a starting point. It was the first city to overtake. It was the first thing to reveal the power of God. It was the first time for the name of the Lord and the name of Israel to begin to spread across all of Canaan land. It was a starting point. And I ask you this morning, do you focus on a starting point? How are you going to restore those relationships? It's a starting point. How are you going to save that money? It's a starting point. How are you going to change your name? It's a starting point. How are you going to develop your reputation? It's a starting point. How are you going to start your ministry? It's a starting point. Where do you got to serve before you can start preaching? It's a starting point. Who do you need to go to ask to forgive you? It's a starting point. What things do you need to get rid of in your life? It's a starting point. What do you need to stop watching and listening to? It's a starting point. Who do you need to stop talking to? It's a starting point. Who do you need to start encouraging? It's a starting point. What is your starting point? See, we get caught up in the fascination of the end result of what we are pursuing. We get caught up in making the big money. We get caught up in being the top dog at the job. We get caught up in having the lovey-dovey relationship where everything's hunky-dory and you're going to Disneyland this weekend and the ocean that weekend and the mountains that weekend and you're making sweet love underneath the fire in a cabin that weekend and you're not remembering what it is to just start heavy duty, hardcore in the beginning of a relationship and getting the foundation laid out before you get to the point of having all the other stuff. Now you got really quiet when I said making love. Come on, husbands and wife, you know what I mean. Fire going, mountain cabin, Barry White. My wife is like, all right, I'm making some of you uncomfortable. I definitely can, I need to move on. It is scriptural because it is marital. You understand what I'm saying, though? We have all these dreams and all these things we want to get to the end result of, but what's the starting point? I can preach to you till I'm blue in the face and black in the butt about you receiving your promises. I knew that would wake you up. You was even shocked on that one, wasn't you? I could preach you all day long about promises, but if I never get straight with you and say, hey, all these promises are great, but what's your starting point? Where are you going to begin at? I'm not doing you any good. And that's what Joshua did with the spies. He directed them. He said, pay special attention to Jericho because that's the starting point. Don't focus on the end of the race. Focus on the starting point. Amen? Now check this. And I know I'm keeping you a little long today. Again, we're going to blame Gary. Jerry? That's right. His job. We won't go there. We're going to blame it on Gary. They entered the house of a prostitute. Israel, righteous Israel, holy spies, full of God, who did not associate with unclean individuals or unclean matters. They went into the house of a prostitute, and guess what? They stayed. What does that mean to us? What it means to us, sometimes promises are possessed by connecting with the people that we unexpect to get connected with the most. Amen? There is people we look at and think, no. I ain't going to get connected with that joker. Not her. She don't shop at Macy's. She don't wear Free People. She ain't status quo. I ain't going to get connected with her. Oh, no, he likes to party a little too hard. I'm out of that one. Look at him. All those tattoos on his neck. Oh, my God. Really? Sometimes God expects us to connect with people that we would not expect to connect to. Maybe God wants you to connect with a millionaire. Maybe, and not for the reason that you think. Come on. You got it wrong first off. God is not going to connect you with a millionaire if you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get that money now, baby. Funded. Cha-ching. No. Maybe God wants to connect you with a millionaire so he can teach you, or she could teach you, how to work your money, how to invest your money, how not to blow your money, how to save your money, right? Maybe your whole life you've just been messing around with poverty-stricken mindsets. And maybe God wants to hook you up and get you connected with some successful people because God knows you got success in your heart. God knows you got qualities for success. God knows you are called to success. So God needs to get you connected with the individual that maybe you and I have no idea that God wants to connect us with. God connected those two spies with a prostitute. The prostitute was considered unclean, but it was because of the prostitute that they didn't die. They didn't get killed. They didn't get captured, but they was able to make a plan for Israel to overtake the first step. Maybe God wants to hook you up with somebody you never expected so that you can get the first step established and then just go on your way possessing all the promises that he's promised you. Can I get a right on? The last one, short and sweet, is they stayed there. In other words, they had favor. This woman could have ousted them. This woman could have said to the king's men, because the king sent men in. They saw two strangers coming in, and they knew it was the Israelites. But this woman hid them, and they stayed there. And the term stayed there represents to us in this message favor. Expect favor. Expect favor from God. Maybe you've been done wrong in your past, but now you're looping around to possess the promise again. Expect favor. You've been faithful to God. God's going to be faithful to you. Can I get an amen? Come on, give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. So, when God gives us a second chance to possess the promised land again, things that begin to develop in us is, number one, we become survivors. Survivors. If we're faithful to God, he will make sure we learn and we know how to survive, how to stick and not quit. Number two, we're set up. Faithful to God, God sets us up. He sets us up to remove objects of the problem. He sets us up by replacing helps. He sets us up by repositioning us with greater leadership or greater ability. Number three is, when he sends us into the promised land, he expects us to use some wisdom, remain quiet, only talk to those who we need to talk to. He expects us to envision the positive and not envision the negative. He expects us to focus on a starting point and not getting overwhelmed and overexcited and be too anxious for the end result. And he expects us to expect favor. Not just favors from brothers and sisters in the Lord, but favor from the world. Favor from the unexpected. Favor from people you had no idea was looking at you and watching you and seeing what you were doing and how you were sticking and how you were surviving. Expect the favor of the Lord. Amen? Just because you didn't experience the promise the first time around, don't be a quitter. Don't give up. Don't think it's over with. Don't think it's done. It may not be the same. Most likely it will not be the same. Yes, there's some changes, and yes, there's some hard processes that we have to go through after we're hurt. But don't quit. Don't give up. Be faithful to God, and God will be faithful to you. And in due season, you will find yourself in the promised land. Amen. Bow your head. Let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today. I believe it was directed specifically at certain hearts and certain minds. And so, Lord, I ask that you allow them to grasp onto this word, remember this word, and make it applicable to their heart, their mind, their life, their circumstance. Just because we missed the boat once doesn't mean that the journey's over. It doesn't mean we have to forget about the promise, the dream, the desires, and everything you have for us. We just have to regroup, remain faithful to you, and follow the leading of your Spirit, knowing in our heart, above all things, that you are going to reposition us to once again possess the promise that you have given us, that is for us, that we deserve. In the name of Jesus Christ, everyone said amen and amen. Can you give God an awesome hand of praise this morning?